Since this is Easter Sunday, and this is the Sunday that changed the worship time from a Friday evening to a Sunday morning, let this day and the theme of resurrection be the container for our prayers. Death is very real. If I say two words, Sri Lanka, death is real. It is absolutely real. It is with us all the time. The sting of death, however, has been taken. And so let's put our prayers in this container of resurrection, that even and especially in the midst of the worst, death itself, it's not the end of the story. So I invite your prayers this morning to be made in that context, held in the context of resurrection, because that's what we're celebrating today. Nothing is beyond God's reach. Nothing. As Jesus would have taught his disciples, we'll start prayer time with the breath. Take in at least just one long, slowly as you can, deeply as you can, breath. Start in the stomach, and when that is full, sweep on up into the chest. And when both are full, gently and slowly drop the air from your chest. Pull your stomach all the way to your backbone. And at your pace and your rhythm, breathe deeply. God is here. God, in your midst on this day when we came expecting death, the first people who got to the tomb had a jaw-dropping, life-changing surprise. Death wasn't the end of the story. And so, God, today, on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, we put our prayers in this vast love of yours that raises, that resurrects, that renews, that transforms, even in the midst of that which has died. Especially there, we find you. Hear each and every one of our prayers this morning with the faith that when you're here, and you're always here, it's never the end. It's always another beginning. And in this faith, we raise our prayers to you. We pray for Jan Bertolette, who had a second brain tumor removed and is doing well. Bring your resurrection power into her life, God. We make it our prayer together. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Nadia. We pray along with Michelle Daniels for Nadia, 7-year-old granddaughter of one of her friends, who will have a brain tumor removed soon. And again, we pray that you bring your resurrection power to Nadia and bring her healing. Lord, hear our prayer. And God, we pray and praise you along with Joyce and Craig for the resurrection power you've brought into their life, the joy in the birth of their grandson, Silas William Habecker, on Wednesday. Lord, hear our praise. We pray with Terry Stevenson for everyone in Sri Lanka whose lives were totally changed, celebrating this very holy day. Bring your resurrection power even there. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray with Michelle Daniels for DeVern Glenn, 75-year-old, that his speech could be improved as he battles Parkinson's. Bring your resurrection power into his life. Lord, hear our prayer. And God, hear any other prayers that we bring to you this day. Lord, hear our prayer. 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 We lift up our prayers in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. And along with Jesus, we trust in your resurrection power already at work for every prayer we have made. Let the people say, Amen. My guess is there are very, very few people sitting here this morning who have not yet heard this scripture in either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So this is one of the hardest for us to hear and stay in the room. Because our brains will say, I know that, and wander out the side. Do your best. John is masterful in the way he tells his memories of Jesus. And you'll hear my bias here. John says things in ways that make Matthew, Mark, and Luke pale a bit by comparison. But on the other side of that coin, John will say things that on the surface level, the literal level, don't make sense. So you have these conversations and somebody asks Jesus a question. We'll hear it now, this morning, in a minute. And you think, wait, did he answer that? It didn't seem like they were talking together. They missed each other. Because here's the deal with John. John always has two layers going at the same time. I'm going to do them this way. The literal, just what's going on, the facts. If they need bread and they're hungry, they need bread and they're hungry. That's this. But John always, always, always adds the spiritual meaning at the same time. And so usually what happens in John, the reason why it's so hard to read John is the people around Jesus ask him a question literally, and he answers them spiritually. You with me? So with that, I hope I've given us a way to hear this Easter story in a new, get something new out of it this morning. Because John has a whopping message for us. Mary Magdalene stood crying outside of the tomb. She was still weeping when she stooped down and she saw two angels inside. They were dressed in white and they were sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head, the other was at the foot. And the angels asked Mary, which on a literal level is a stupid question, "Why are you crying?" She answered, They've taken away my Lord's body. I don't know where they've put him." As soon as Mary said this, she turned around, and I'm going to come back to that word in a moment. But I want you to know, John has a double meaning here. The word repent means about face. Mary turns around. Don't lose that. John doesn't want us to lose a thing here. Mary turned around. And she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying?" Again, I'm sorry, Jesus, but that's a duh, obvious question. Literally. Why are you crying? And here's the big question. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken his body away, please tell me so I can go and get him." Because she has in her hands right now the linen, strips of linen, the ointments, the essential oils. She came to anoint his body. There was no time to do it. Sabbath begins at sundown. They had to get him off the cross quickly and get him in the tomb so they can't work on Sabbath. There was no time to embalm the body. Here she stands with her hands full and her jaw dropping, trying to figure this out. Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." Aramaic word Rabboni means teacher. Jesus told her, "Don't hold on to me. I have not yet gone to the Father, but tell my disciples that I am going to the one who is my Father and my God, as well as your Father and your God." Mary Magdalene then went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She also told them what he had said to her. I ask of you what Paul asked of the Ephesians. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it boldly, as I must speak. Who are you looking for? Let's back up to the first question. The angel asks it first, and then Jesus asks, "No, I slipped up." The risen Christ asks it again. Why are you crying? I'm sorry, but on a literal level, that is a painful question. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced it. You're at a funeral and you're grieving. And somebody with great heart and Christian intention says to you, "Oh, don't be sad, don't cry." Have you ever had this? Where they lay the should or the shouldn't on you? You shouldn't be sad because they're in a better place. Yes, spiritually this way, yes. But this way, they are no longer with me and I am grieving. And that doesn't mean that I've lost my faith or I'm weak in my faith or I don't have any faith. That means I am grieving. On a literal level, this question is painful. It's not a stupid question. It's a cruel question. Why are you crying? I'm crying because I lost my Lord and Savior. Jesus asked her the same question. And by now, standing there with her hands full of linen strips and ointments, she doesn't know what to think. So, as I said to you, she's facing the tomb and she does an about face. She turns around, facing away now from death. And she hears this voice. "Why are you crying?" She thinks he's the gardener because it's Jesus, but he's different. It's hard to put resurrection into words directly. In fact, it's impossible. It's like saying God is, and I'm going to tell you literally exactly who and what God is. Nobody can do that. Jesus didn't even do that. You say God is like. Or you use these beautiful photos, and yes, keep looking at them. Or you use stained glass, or you pick up a paintbrush, or you play in some instruments, and you use your voice, and you sing. And you point toward this resurrection that can never be neatly, completely described, but can be experienced. When we do an about face from away from death and face resurrection, we don't see it so much with these eyes, we see it here somehow. Resurrection, there's a great hymn, "He Lives." It has it singing way up in the rafters. For those of us with lower voices, it's a tough hymn. "You ask me how I know he lives." Some of you know. What's the answer? What's the next lyric? "He lives." Yeah. Is that literal? Well, maybe, but that's the best words can do. We see with the eyes of faith. That's how we see resurrection. I'm proud of the one person, two people, who remembered and brought him back. Oh, more than three. All right. There you go. It's okay if you didn't have them. If you didn't remember them, that's fine. If I hadn't left them here, there's another one. Good. I would have forgotten them too. So, I tried to get fancy with mine. So that, those are mine. These were left. They look pretty sad now. I mean, on Palm Sunday, they looked like this. They were beautiful. They were flexible and green and alive. And if you smelled them, this is like a hay field. That smells like a live plant. These did too on Palm Sunday. It was only a week ago. And these went through a journey. And I ask you to pay attention to the palms because they really can teach us. On Palm Sunday, these were, yay, victory. And I'm going to lay them down and let this donkey walk over the top, the donkey that Jesus is riding on. And if I'm really feeling moved, I'm going to take my coat off. I'm going to put that under the donkey's hooves too. So this is a sign of victory on Palm Sunday and humility. Jesus picks this up on Thursday, and they gather around the table, and the upper room was a house. I think we tend to think it was a church. It wasn't a synagogue. It was a house. It was a rich person's house because it had a large enough upper room. The upper level of the house was large enough they could house all these disciples and the women who supported them and have that Passover meal. So after the supper's over, the host, whoever owned the upper room house, missed something big time. Because each one of us, when we came into the house that night, the owner, which would have been a man, should have had his servant at the door, and each time every one of us came in, our feet were washed. That was hospitality. Basic hospitality. That's like you coming in on Sunday morning and saying hello to me, and I just look away. I mean, it's so basic, you don't miss that. So guess who gets up from the table and washes their feet? Our Lord and Savior, Rabboni, the teacher, takes the role of the servant. So these take on a new meaning on Thursday. Servanthood. No one's better than anybody else, he says around the table after he comes back. And he says, do you know what I just did to you? Yeah, he just leveled the playing field. The two brothers who argued about who's going to get into heaven first, whose mom likes you best, Jesus likes you best. I've been here longer than you've been following Jesus. You're here, I'm here. No, that's all done. You know what I did to you? I served you. Go and do the same. Friday night. These are done. You think they were brittle? They're dead. In fact, they're worse than dead. They're forgotten. Friday night, nobody remembered the ticker tape parade on Palm Sunday. Nobody. Victory, yay, yay, the Messiah's here. And oh my gosh, he's dead. Didn't give a second thought to these. And so I picked them up on Friday night and said, you know what these mean, Friday night? These mean God is not gone. God is not done. Now, how many of you are gardeners? We're here on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. Anybody here have a compost heap? A couple of you? What do you do with the dead stuff? The peels that are no longer needed off the veggies and the fruit. What do you do with the dead leaves? What do you do with? You turn it into fertilizer. Good, rich soil. So out of death, these are dead now, God brings life. That's what these mean this morning. It's an about face, concentrating on what's dead, what's gone in our lives. Your life, mine, and paying attention to what is God going to resurrect out of what has died. That's what this Sunday's about. So finally, I'm going to come back to Diane's beautiful slides. What does Diane see? Kittens and sunrises and flowers and butterflies. That's not all she sees. What you've been looking at right there is more than a pair of swans. You know what Diane sees in those two little ducklings? Resurrection. Everywhere, resurrection, when we have the eyes of faith to see. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives where? Within my heart and yours. Do an about face from death. Because today's the day We shift from the nighttime and we worship resurrection every Sunday because God is resurrecting our lives every day, every day, every day. It's Easter every day when we have the eyes to see. Happy Easter. Amen. Do you know why there are coverings on the cup and the loaf? Does this remind you of anything? Let me give you a hint. In some churches, the tradition is you've got a white covering over the whole altar when there's communion. And the whole covering is, does this remind us of anything? Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, Mary comes to the tomb and finds and sees what? Where his body was? These are shrouds. Shrouds are used to cover the dead body. But when she got there, they were folded up, rolled up, and there was no dead body. And it sank in because she finally did an about face and she remembered. He blessed the bread, he broke it, and then he gave it. And he said, this is my body, and through my death, you have life. Through my death, this is my blood, and through the loss of it, you are resurrected. All are welcome in the United Methodist tradition to this table. If you are just now in this last nanosecond saying, I think I might possibly follow Jesus and see if this is true and what this is all about, you are welcome. And if you've been doing this for 70, 80, 90 years, it's brand new again, right now. You are welcome. The signs of resurrection are all around us. Come, I invite the communion helpers forward.